You pressed play on this podcast with the click of curiosity. It is another dimension, a dimension of mind, a dimension where nothing is sacred and everything is explainable. You're streaming into a land of both inside and outside, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the midside.
Welcome to the midside, where in this democracy, I make the rules. If you enjoy your trip into the midside here today, feel free to check out our flagship show. You can find that on themidside.com or anywhere podcasts are streaming. This episode started out very slow for me. I actually found it a little annoying in the beginning, especially when they started going back to the whole Ty and Caleb thing. I was just like, oh my God, not this again. Two people I don't really like, someone who's not really a game changer, and they're going to be in a major storyline. But finally, it paid off at the end of the episode with the results of the Tribal Council, which, unfortunately, I knew what was going to happen in the Tribal Council because I'm at the gym, on the bike warming up, and I look to my left, and there is Caleb at Tribal Council. So I knew his tribe went to Tribal Council, so by the time that part of the episode rolled around, I pretty much knew that he was the one going home. Overall, though, I thought it was a very good episode, and the season's been hitting its stride pretty well. The first episode was a little weak, but the second episode was good, and now, even though this is, I'm considering them three episodes because the first episode was really a two-parter, this is the third episode, and I thought that was pretty good. So if this continues, it could be a pretty good season. Joining me this trip, from a flyover state, the David Healy. David, what was your response to this episode? Did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it. I can see what you mean about it starting out slow, but it actually, if you think about it, started out fast too, because they jumped right to the tribe spot. There was no other thing to do in the cold open. But yeah, I thought it was definitely an episode that had people talking. I was talking to coworkers who don't watch Survivor about it. So interesting. Yeah, good episode.
Yeah, I guess maybe I'm just jaded about the whole tribe swap thing. It didn't bother me at all, especially because they haven't really been in their main tribes or their original tribes for that long. So it didn't really do much for me.
I can understand that. I think they want to switch things up as soon as they can so that people are still fluid, which I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, that's good production. They're finding ways to, I mean, they've been dealing with this since season one, right? Not having pagongings happen. And exactly, they're finding ways to do that, especially with returning players who have pregame alliances. That's something you really have to be careful about from a production standpoint, is putting these people on tribes together. And we actually saw that with the mana tribe, right? We saw that at Tribal Council. So that's something we'll get to. But let's start with I'm going to go with the tribes that had the least interesting story to the most interesting story. So starting with Tavua and going to mana because they went to Tribal Council. So what stuck out to you about Tavua? What was interesting to you there? What do you want to talk about?
Well, I think we saw two storylines at Tavua. We saw Ceri's storyline, and we saw the start of a storyline for Troizan, since he was kind of the lone man, lone wolf, I guess you could say, on his tribe. So yeah, those were definitely what stood out to me. I thought it was interesting that Ceri seems to be the only person who has a storyline that hasn't been to Tribal Council yet, and on paper doesn't necessarily need a storyline. So I think that speaks well for her future in the game.
What do you mean doesn't need a storyline?
I mean, if you think about it, Troizan needed a storyline because he was the only person from his original tribe here. Ceri doesn't have that situation. I mean, she does have her situation that she was being targeted, but they easily could have edited that out. But I think the fact that they are showing us all this stuff with Ceri definitely speaks well for her chances of going far this season.
Yeah, so what you mean is they're including stuff about her when they don't need to include stuff about her, that the game doesn't necessitate it.
Exactly.
Right, and with Troizan, editing aside, how ridiculous is it that he found an idol again? I mean, it's very interesting to me that certain people come into Survivor and they just seem to find idols over and over again. Is that sort of like production favoring them, or is that they're just the type of people who find idols?
I think they're the type of people that find idols. I mean, the people who work the hardest are the ones that find idols. We see it time and time again. I don't think it's production favoring them. Maybe I'm naive.
I don't know. I ask it because it's a question. I really don't have a bias in my answer at all. I mean, I'd like to believe that it's just them finding it. I mean, that seems within Troy Zan's character, right? Like, he doesn't seem especially strategically savvy. Like, he doesn't, like, make good plans, and his social game isn't the greatest in the world. Like, he's a nice guy. But at the same time, that seems to not be, like, a huge strength. So finding idols kind of has to be a crux of his game. Although I did enjoy that in this episode, two alpha male characters who are hated kind of stuck out when we talk about Troy Zan and Brad. So I think that I enjoy thinking about how the online community is going to react. And I find it very amusing that Troy Zan had such a good episode and, you know, will not get voted out, it seems, soon.
Yeah, it's funny because those two guys are the people that I was most disappointed that Survivor brought them back. And I've been pretty vocal about that. But I found myself liking both of them to a degree. Like, when Troy Zan was crying after he found that clue, I was like, what's this? Troy Zan being somewhat endearing? It didn't feel right.
Troy Zan is endearing.
Oh, you're crazy. Oh, I know you like him, but man, I don't see it.
Oh, it was so good. And like the stuff he was saying about Andrea and everything. Come on, you didn't find that hilarious?
No, I knew you would talk about that. I don't know. I like Andrea, so.
It's not that, like I said it before, it's not that I dislike Andrea, but it's like he just called her out on like the fact that like she's not as savvy as like people seem to think she is.
Yeah.
Do you think that was funny?
I mean, it wasn't like ha ha funny. I didn't laugh.
I did.
Okay. I'm sure she laughed. Yeah, we talked about this pre-recording about Andrea kind of making fun of herself on social media. I think that's my favorite, like, sub-storyline to the season that's not actually part of the TV show, is Andrea just constantly making fun of herself.
Oh, yeah. When you sent me that, I did like that. It's very endearing of her to do. And she raises an important point. How did nobody see him grabbing the idol?
Yeah. I think the best part is, gosh, I'm trying to remember what she said. She said, that one almost got by us or something like that, right as Troy Zan grabbed the idol.
Yeah, that was good
because,
editing.
Yeah, because their team almost lost. It was just really funny that she said that.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. Like, he's obviously going over there making a show of, like, falling on the table and everything. And they just ignore him. And then the fact that she posted that picture of her staring at him while he's grabbing the idol, like.
Yeah, that's for people who haven't seen this, Andrea posted on Twitter a picture of her. And it was saying, like, how is your Survivor game going? And her answer is, oh, it's going great. Nothing is getting by me this season. And it shows a picture of her on that boat at the marooning with that advantage clue right behind her. And then it shows another picture of her staring at Troy Zan as he's grabbing that idol. So I just thought it was really funny.
Yeah, and it might become a recurring theme because I did think it was very funny that the editor showed that in the first episode. And now this comes back again in the third episode, really the second week. So we may see this happen with Andrea again and again. This actually may be this lack of awareness they're showing may end up being her downfall.
True, it could be. But to be fair, I just rewatched the episode. And there was a point where Suri was making eye contact with Troy Zan. And there was a point where Ozzy was making eye contact with Troy Zan. So really, you could have had that meme with any of the three of them.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like I said, it's just ridiculous. Like, how was it not obvious what he was doing? Because what season did they also hide it at a challenge?
That was Cambodia Second Chances.
Yeah, and it was the same, like, in the same corner of a challenge, right?
Yeah. And if you think about it, that was the last season that had filmed before this group went out to film this season. I mean, besides Millennials versus Gen X, which none of them had seen. So as far as they know, that would be a continuing trend that they would be hiding idols in challenges.
Yeah, it's really bad, especially for people coming back for the Suri and Ozzy, was this Suri's third time, fourth time? Ozzy and Suri both their fourth time, right?
Right. Ozzy is about to pass Boston Rob for the most days played on Survivor.
Is he? Come on now. Suri.
I mean.
Come on, Suri. Help me out here, buddy.
I think Ozzy would have to get voted out next to not beat Boston Rob. Even then, it might be close.
Come on, Suri. All right. So let's talk a little bit about the Nuku tribe. This is the tribe that had, I think their main thing was, oh, there was two main things in this tribe, right? So we saw two previous winners have big moments that can affect their social standing. The first was JT leaving everyone out there in the water to look for an idol. And then he didn't even find the idol.
Right. I mean, that was a bold, bold move. I can't imagine having the balls to do that.
Well, that's what I was saying about JT in our preview show. It's like he does think outside the box and come up with these bold moves, but it's always like, you didn't think that went all the way through, did you, JT? Like, this is the equivalent of handing the note, isn't it, across tribe lines?
Well, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt on this because, I mean, he doesn't have very many options. What he could have done, I mean, he needs to find an idol since he's the only person from his original tribe. He could have just started looking with other people around, but then he risks the chance of them following him and somebody else potentially finding it first. This way, he has them so far away that that won't be a possibility. Sure, they're going to know he's looking for the idol, but there's nothing they can do about it until they get there.
Yeah, and I guess even if he doesn't find it, they'll assume he has it. So it sort of helps him in that way as well, where they won't be afraid to vote for him.
Right. And who do you split the votes on?
Well, we know from the preview he's going to be going after Sandra White, right? Which is another hilarious thing that the winners keep going after each other.
Yeah, I think it's a pride thing with all of the winners. I think they all want to be the last winner standing. But, I mean, what does that get you?
Nothing.
Nothing.
It gets you nothing. Nothing.
Exactly.
You get you nothing exactly. And you'll like it. I think it's also a little pride of wanting to be the one that votes out Sandra. Like, is that going to be a storyline we haven't seen yet? Like, are there going to be a bunch of people going to be like, I'm the one who dethroned the queen?
You know, it could be. I could definitely see it going that way. We don't really have many clues to point that direction yet, though.
You got to think there'd be somebody who would want to do that, but I don't know. And then the other thing this tribe happened was the whole goat thing, right? JT and Malcolm caught a couple of goats. They turned out to be a mother and the child. And then they all decided right. Not to eat the goats because it was a mother and a child. But Sandra wanted to eat the goats. Now, there's a whole lot going on in this scene. There's the whole idea of Sandra getting the villain at it again. Mm-hmm. You know, Michaela said, oh, she was a villain for a reason. And then there's the whole idea of the tribe dynamics of Sandra possibly isolating herself. Then again, Sandra always does things like this and it never isolates her somehow. There's the whole dynamic of the long-term edit of like goat in our society has come to mean greatest of all time. And Sandra's calling herself the queen of Survivor. So is there some symbolism there with, you know, she's the mother goat and nobody wants to kill her or something, or JT's trying to kill her. Like, does that mean something? And then finally, for me, I found it really annoying that they were like, oh, yeah, if you find a male goat, we'll kill it. Oh, okay. So it's okay to kill the father goat if there's a baby, but it's not okay to kill the mother goat if there's a baby. I can understand completely if you go, we're going to let the baby go. Like, I get that. But the idea that we would kill a father goat, but we wouldn't kill the mother goat, that shows a bias, in my opinion.
I mean, are father goats nurturing to their babies? I don't know if they are.
So that's the value the value we place on whether we kill creatures or not is their nurturing nature?
I think so. I think the whole value they placed on the mother was the fact that it has this kid and they don't want to leave this kid alone without anybody to guide it or help it. I don't know if a father goat has that role.
Okay, so we now need a goat expert.
I don't know if this
is
the most interesting discussion.
Now we need a goat expert. We need JT on here. We need big Tom Buchanan on here. Who is a goat expert who can tell us what the role of the father goat is in raising the baby goat?
Wow, we're going down a rabbit trail on this one.
It's not a rabbit trail. It's a goat trail. Come on.
It's a goat trail. Yes.
Now, you didn't like Sandra in this, right?
I watched it, and this was the most I disliked Sandra watching her in any of her seasons. But there's a big but. Rewatching the episode recently, I didn't think she was that strong-headed. I think it's probably a cultural thing for her that she just doesn't have. She's not sensitive when it comes to killing animals necessarily. But watching the episode back, she did not put up a fight at all when people were deciding they wanted to let the goats go. She ruled with the tribe, which is the absolute right thing to do. But we didn't get a confessional from her. We didn't get anything from her saying that she realized it wasn't worth the battle. So I don't think that bodes well from her. I think we needed that conversation from her in confessional. Because we're just left with her kind of villainous, and a lot of people on Twitter are very upset.
A lot of people on Twitter are always upset.
Yep, that's what Twitter's for, basically.
Yeah, man, like, I don't know, I would have been on Sandra's side. Eat the fucking goat, dude. Like, you're on Survivor, man. It's food. Like,
oh, I would not have been on her side.
Like, I don't know, I had no problem with it. Like, this is one of those times where I just don't fucking understand people. Like, what are you so upset about? It's a fucking goat.
I mean, some people have compassion. I know that's foreign to you.
Compassion for an animal? Like, yeah.
Yes, I mean, did you see how cute that little baby goat was?
Yeah, there was, like I said, I would not have killed the baby. 100% I would not have killed the
you
baby.
You would have just left it an orphan. Malcolm said it perfectly. This is the goat version of Bambi.
Fucking dude, that's a Disney movie. We make our decisions in life about survival and how to win $1 million based upon a Disney movie?
I mean, what 5-year-old didn't have their heart broken watching Bambi?
Me!
Okay, I'm not surprised.
I just remember getting the little plastic McDonald's toys. Do you remember those of, like, Thumper and what's the flower? Thumper was the rabbit, and then Flower was the skunk.
Right.
Did you have those little plastic McDonald's toys of them?
That sounds familiar. You're older than me, though.
And then we, like, buried them in the sandbox in the backyard. Like, that's what I remember from Bambi. But I wasn't like, oh, my God, I'm horrified. Like, oh, yeah, the mother died. That was fucked up. But it wasn't like, oh, my God, my life's over. Like, shit happens.
Yeah, I mean, there's sadder things.
So the question with what happened was the edit versus the reality of it. And you don't think in reality it drove a wedge between her and the tribe, but you find some interesting little subtleties to the edit.
Exactly. I mean, I think they didn't do her any favors here. And Michaela saying Sandra is a villain, that stood out to me. But Sandra also got that same sort of confessional from another player in Heroes versus Villains from Ceri in episode 1. I don't know if you remember this.
No, this is a deep hole. Go ahead.
Yeah. Sandra, in the very first challenge on Heroes versus Villains, she took off Sugar's bra and just tossed it.
Yeah, I remember that because I was horrified.
And
that's more offensive to me than the idea of killing a baby goat.
Well, Ceri said, at first I was looking at these tribes and I thought Sandra might be on the wrong tribe. But then she did that and I thought, yeah, she's definitely a villain.
Well, see, that's the interesting thing about Sandra in general. And I love how every podcast is just us talking about Sandra now. But that's the interesting thing that's about her, right? Is like she's a villain all season, and then it gets to Final Tribal and everyone votes for her, and then all the fans love her again.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great storyline for her.
Yeah, and we could be seeing that again because those are the two main things on that tribe. And then finally we have the Mana tribe, and the big thing this week was the whole who do they vote out, Haley or Caleb?
Right. Yeah, this was definitely an interesting tribe for me this week. And it wasn't even really about Haley or Caleb that was so interesting for me. What was interesting for me was Brad.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Troy's in and Brad, baby. Yeah.
Yeah, when we saw at Nuku that there were decorations, if I had to guess who at Nuku made those decorations, Brad would have been 10th on my guesses. So,
yeah, they had little subtleties in the edit this week for Nuku in that way, the Brad thing. And then also the whole, like, Caleb, when I think I texted you about this when I was watching the episode, when they were, Caleb was like, I only lasted till day 9 next time. I was like, uh-oh. I love when they do shit like that.
Yeah, you don't want to say anything like that. Ask Francesca.
But in regards to what you're saying about Brad, he played Ty perfectly. Like, it's like he watched that season and scouted him and knew exactly what to do to get Ty on his side. And the idea that he was like, I don't want to seem like I'm the one who's making the decisions. He learned from his last season, too.
It's true. He did play Ty well, but at the same point, or at the same time, I do think that the points he was making to Ty were very, very spot on, and it was helping Ty's game.
Well, yeah, that is the ideal way to play, isn't it? Where if the thing you're telling other people is exactly what they need to get ahead in the game, and it helps you get ahead in the game, like, that gives you the perfect way to argue against the jury in the end.
No, you're right. That's definitely right. I think one of the best parts of this scene, though, was that it seemed like every time they cut to Ty, he had more sand on him than the shot before because he was exfoliating. And eventually his face was just completely covered with sand.
I would never have noticed that.
I know. It changed the subject a little bit. But if you rewatch it, pay attention to that because it's pretty hilarious.
While he was talking to Brad, he was exfoliating?
Yes. He had sand all over his body and eventually it was all over his face.
That's so, like, I guess the things they have to do to keep entertained on the island, that's just going to be what it is, right?
Pretty much, I guess.
I can't ever imagine just rubbing sand all over my body. Like, it's bizarre to me.
Yeah. So did you think there was a chance that Haley would go and Caleb would stay?
I mean, I thought there was a slight chance, but I thought it would have contradicted the edit pretty hard if that happened. Because Haley has gotten a very good edit so far. And for them to get rid of her like that, it would have basically been like I was saying about Michaela in South Pacific, where this is the kind of edit that it was set up for her to go early to feed into someone else's edit.
Right. So I could see that.
When they weren't setting that up, I was like, well, how would she go? That doesn't make much sense. I mean, I think we're looking at Brad and Haley and that alliance going far in this game, those players. I mean, I said that to you after the first episode, that I think Brad could go deep in this game.
Yeah, and that just goes to prove my theory that this could be All-Stars 2, where we're seeing the players that didn't do so well make it to the end this time.
Well, we can debate that another day. I don't like that grumble, grumble, grumble as a Boston Rob fan. Is there anything else we want to say about this tribe strategically?
I just want to sing Haley's praises a little bit here. I thought she was so good at that tribal council. She was letting her lawyer come out, and she did it in a way that wasn't too threatening, but just illuminated all the reasons she should stay and Caleb should go.
Well, she was right, too. It's not like she was lying or anything.
Yeah, I did think Sierra was a little shady when she was like, I have absolutely no relationship with Haley. And Haley kind of had a stink face when she said that.
Yeah, maybe that sets up a little divide between them later.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot going on Haley versus Sierra here, so.
Yeah, another good week for Haley. So let's talk about the editing a little bit. Haley was one of our candidates, right? We had 5 candidates. Haley was one of them. And another good week for her.
It really was. Like, I would be shaking in my boots if I was Mike Holloway right now.
Yeah. Because
it's definitely looking like Haley is more important to this season than Sierra is. Which says a lot when Sierra has that advantage.
Yeah, and that's really funny. Because you started that bet, right? The Haley versus Sierra bet. It's for like $100, am I correct?
Exactly.
Yeah, who goes further, Haley or Sierra? You started that bet, and then they end up on the same tribe, and then they have that rivalry comment?
Yeah, it's true. The one thing I will say is that maybe Haley doesn't have the edit that she's necessarily going to go further than Sierra, but if we're picking one that has a chance to win, there's no way Sierra is winning over Haley.
Oh, no way. Haley has a possible winner's edit. It goes back to the possible winner's quote in episode 1, and then they made sure to give her a moment in this episode, too. It wasn't like she was just passively being saved over Caleb, right? Because they could have made the entire thing about Ty and Caleb, but they made sure to put in about Brad talking well about her and her looking really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely got some great sound bites about Haley. which always bodes well.
Yeah. So other people that we highlighted last time, there were four others, right? Sandra, Ceri, Brad, and then who was the other one? Sarah.
Was Sarah. Right?
Let's start with Sarah, because I know you were very critical of her pre-show.
Yeah, I mean, I was feeling good about Sarah last week. I definitely don't have the same feeling now. She faded into the background, I think, more than anybody else this episode. I can't think of anybody else who was more in the background than her.
I agree. I like when you were talking about her, I was like, was she even in the episode?
Right. She wasn't. She took a day off or three.
And then Ceri, you kind of hinted at when we talked earlier, when you talked about her and Ozzy. Now, we're both in agreement that their edits are intertwined, right?
They are intertwined. Yeah, but I think it's more about Ceri than it is about Ozzy.
In what way?
I mean, anything Ozzy is saying that we're seeing has to do with Ceri. But when we're seeing Ceri talk, it's not really about Ozzy. It's about her own survival.
That's true. That's true. So Ozzy's edit is tied up with Ceri, but Ozzy may just be an edit an obstacle for Ceri.
Yeah, I think that's what he's going to be. Or we could see like this new formed alliance between the two actually go somewhere, which I think that would be very intriguing.
That could be very, very intriguing because they're 2 4-time players. And if it really is an advantage to play 4 times and they align together, they would theoretically be unstoppable.
Yeah, I think they need each other, honestly.
Yeah, they might. In the same way that winners theoretically need each other, they might need each other. So that could be interesting.
Right. Imagine and if I Ozzy think they... went...
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think they need winners, too.
Yeah. Imagine if Ozzy went all the way to the end again and lost to Ceri, just like he lost to Yule and lost to Sophie.
Oh, you're warming my heart right now.
Come on, it'd be funny in a way.
It would be. I mean, I like Ozzy. I probably like Ozzy more than the average online fan does. But man, I would love that.
Oh, good. I thought you were being sarcastic. No, I would love as well. I have a strong dislike for Ozzy. I think he's been outplayed in all his seasons. I think Ozzy is a really likable guy. And I think he's a really athletic guy. And he's a really valuable team member. But I don't think he really has the strategic savvy to win a game of Survivor.
Possibly. He was right on the edge of winning his first season. But I'm afraid that might be the best Ozzy we'll ever get.
Well, he's definitely the most fit Ozzy we'll ever get. Especially with this season. Okay, yeah. Then we have Sandra and Brad. I want to save Brad for last because I want to make a point about Brad. But Sandra... she had another big edit this week. And now it could be her going early, but they did show her in the previews for next week. And typically when you're shown in the previews, you don't go home. Now you think this week was a very negative tinged edit. Do you think she still has a winner's chance?
I never thought she had a winner's chance. That was you. I think she could still go a little bit further, but I think this just solidified that she's probably not going to win.
Ah, why is that?
Just because they're not doing her any favors. Even with the previously on Survivor, they kind of buried her there. So I don't see this being a hat trick for Sandra.
Well, that's interesting, and that's something to continue to monitor, and I'm disappointed in that, but... I think there's a lot of credence to what you're saying, so we will continue to watch that. And then finally, I want to talk about Brad Culpepper a little bit. And the reason I want to talk about him is I'm sure you and the listeners out there have heard of Mario Lanza's Funny 115. And Mario's in the middle of doing version 3.0, and he happened to, this week, release post number 84 about Brad Culpepper. And it's all about... how basically the edit made him seem a million times worse in Blood versus Water than he actually is. I forwarded that entry to you. Did you get a chance to read it?
I skimmed it.
So you get the gist of what it says though, right?
Yeah. I mean, I do. I like Mario Lanza a lot. I think sometimes he paints narratives that aren't exactly what we saw on the show. And I think this is somewhat an example of that.
Well, I'm going to disagree strongly with that because of how different Brad's edit is this time. I think it shows the level that the editing goes to make certain characters and make certain storylines. And it's very interesting. He's getting such a different edit than he did before and such a positive edit. And he's in such a good strategic place. A lot looks very good for Brad Culpepper right now, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I think part of it is because the editors want us to like him for some reason. Potentially he wins. And I think he's also playing a different game than he played the first time. It's a very different circumstance for him. So he doesn't have to play so defensively right off the bat.
True on all accounts. And they definitely want us to like him. So we'll see where these edits continue to take us. We've got the five people we're watching. We'll see who the first one to fall is. We'll see if Sarah comes back next episode. Do you have any predictions for next episode? Who do you think is going to win immunity? Who do you think is going to lose? Who do you think is going to get voted out? And also, yeah. I have read that there are spoilers, and I want to be clear that we do not read or care about spoilers.
Right. I knew one spoiler about this season. It was that Caleb was pre-merge. I didn't want to give anything away about it last podcast, but I'm glad that he's out, so I don't have to worry about knowing anything.
Yeah.
So but do you have any predictions? Yeah, to answer your question, we saw in the preview that it looks like two tribes are going to tribal council.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. It's hard to say what two tribes it will be, but I think something that's interesting, I don't know how far we want to get into this, is that Jeff Probst said that there is another layer to that that is a bigger twist to the season. So I don't know what that's getting at.
Maybe it's the whole where they go to tribal council and watch each other's tribal councils.
I mean, we've seen that before. I think it's something different. I don't know what it is.
Interesting.
But I don't think it's going to be your standard two tribes go out there and they each vote off a person.
So then
there's any type of theories about that?
Well, it could. Maybe it's they vote off people from each other's tribes.
Wow, I don't think I would like that.
I don't know if I would like it either, but that's the immediate thing that jumps to my mind.
Yeah, they could vote off. Could they form like one tribe and vote all together?
That could be interesting too, yeah.
I think that would be more fair than them voting off people from the opposing tribe.
I agree. That would be really interesting if they did that. Just as a way to fuck with the dynamics.
Maybe, but I have to just say, like, if that were the case, whoever got voted out, man, they got screwed.
Yeah, but that's always been the history of Survivor, people getting screwed by twists. That goes all the way back to Silas in Africa.
Right. Yeah, I can't really think of any other. I mean, maybe a tribe could give immunity to somebody, but we've seen that as well.
Yeah, I think your idea is really interesting. Really interesting. But for the sake of pretending they're not doing something like that, let's just run down the three tribes really quickly and say who we think would go from each tribe if they went. So when we're talking about Tavua, who do you think would go?
Tavua, I mean, it looks like Troizan, unless he plays his idol, maybe he's targeting Andrea?
Maybe Andrea, and also we have to say that Ozzy and Suri have gotten interesting edits right now. So there are four basic candidates there, right?
There are, but I mean, I think that the fact we saw Suri and Ozzy patching up things, I think that means that they're safe.
Possibly. And also Sarah's on that tribe too, so maybe she got a little bit in episode one to foreshadow her boot in episode three or four or whatever fucking number we're going to call it.
Yeah, I'll call it three. I'd be okay with that.
Okay, and then we have the Nuku tribe. Do we really believe it was Sandra who would go home?
Not necessarily. First, let me just say that Nuku, like, just looking at the tribe, maybe one of my favorite tribes ever. So I don't really want anybody to go. I think it has to be JT.
I agree that it would have to be JT as well, which makes me think they're not going to tribal next week because of the preview.
Right.
And then finally, we have the Mana tribe, which just went to tribal council.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't look good for Haley. It seems like the other four are sticking together. But then again, we did see a little bit of talk about Debbie being on the outs.
Yeah. And Brad seems to have taken a liking to Haley. So it seems like those are the two most likely candidates, is Debbie and Haley. And in a way, the edit with in regards to Haley possibly being a winner or going far, and this twist thing makes your theory seem much more plausible.
Right. But I think I want to go out on a limb and say that Mana is not going to be one of the two tribes going to tribal council, just because I don't feel like any of them are going too soon.
Right. And that's how you trust the edit. So it doesn't always make sense from a logistical standpoint, logically, but editing wise, it doesn't look like Haley would go home soon. So then logically they would win at tribal council, especially with all the talk of, if we vote off a strong person, we're going to go again and lose immunity.
Yeah. And I don't feel like Debbie's going anytime soon.
I agree. She doesn't really have an edit to go anytime soon. So,
right. And I mean, the dictatorship majority rules would determine whether she goes or not, right?
Yes, yes, yes. So vintage Debbie right there. Vintage exactly. Debbie. I just want to see her and Coach interact.
It's true, but I do have to say, while we're on the subject of Debbie, she's not as fun as she was last season. She just seems like a sourpuss.
I think they haven't edited her as much, so we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, I hope she gets back to the Debbie that I really liked last time.
All right, any closing thoughts?
I guess Joe said Mike Holloway better watch out.
Yeah, because we're going to the end with Haley and we're getting our $100. I'm saying our like it's mine. It's all David's.
Exactly. Maybe I'll give you a dollar.
Oh, wow, a dollar. Wow, you're not allowed to gamble or you're not allowed to barter the season's winnings. Don't you know that? That's in the Survivor rules. You can't say, if you take me to the end, I'll give you $10. You can't do that.
Good point. Yeah, I knew that.
Come on. This concludes your journey into the midside. I'm Justin Emelzneski reminding you that if things get tough, take a step back and witness the farce.
Have a day.